Today, I'm going to tell you about what we managed to do in our research due to the existence of such thing as SharkNet. So we are studying the motion of disks in hematic liquid crystal, and the first question that rises just after this phrase is, what are liquid crystals? So according to their name, liquid crystals are something in between of crystalline solids and liquids. From liquids, liquid crystals got an ability to flow, and from crystals, they got long-range orientation of water. Usually, particles of pneumatic liquid crystals has rod-shaped form, like here, and we can call the director and the average profit orientation of all particles of the liquid crystal. Then if we will say that theta is an angle between the particles in the liquid crystal and the director, we can use this angle to determine how ordered our liquid crystal is. So for example, we can use scalar order parameter. Here, angle of brackets denotes the coarse grain average. Or we can use tensor order parameter Q. That is a symmetric trustless tensor, the largest eigenvalue of which will give us a level of orderance. And also, this largest eigenvalue can be used to determine where the defects are in the liquid crystal. The defect is a discontinuity in the director end, where it doesn't have a clear sense for the point. There are different types of liquid crystal, but today we're going to concentrate only on pneumatic liquid crystal, where the particles are just, in average, tend to belong one direction, while in smatics and cholesterics, they are also divided into layers. As all liquids, liquid crystals obey continuity equation, where it's usually rho is density, u is velocity, and Navier-Stokes equation. But we have here not only symmetric part of the stress tensor, but also antisymmetric part due to the additional complexity of the liquid crystal. We also have an equation to evaluate tensor order parameter Q. And here, as depends on the velocity gradient tensor, gamma is a diffusion constant, and H is molecular field. We're not going to concentrate on the details because it's either details or nice movies, and I think we better look at the movies. Okay, to simulate our liquid crystal, we use Lattice-Boltzmann algorithm modified for liquid crystals. Lattice-Boltzmann method treats a liquid as a set of pseudo particles, which we'll refer to as nodes, and at each node, so-called velocity distribution functions are defined. And this velocity distribution functions, Fi, is the probability to find particle at node x at time t with velocity Ei, where Ei is a discrete velocity vector that depends on the chosen for the simulation velocity model. There are different velocity models, and they are usually named according to the following scheme. B stands for the number of dimensions, Q is a number of nodes in the model. So for example, this is a two-dimensional model with 9 nodes on it. We personally used 3D3Q15 model, so three-dimensional simulation with 15 nodes. And we also need symmetric trustless tensors GI over there to update our tensor order parameter in the simulation. The moments of these distribution functions will give us the main parameters of the liquid crystal, such as density, velocity, and tensor order parameter. Okay, we're done with simulating of our liquid crystal. Now let's add the disk inside it. If there is no external forces, the disk, made of nickel, so it's ferromagnetic, with magnetic moment mu and perpendicular surface conditions, will align itself in such a way that the far field director M will be parallel to the surface normal, and there is no disturbance around the disk. But if we then switch on the magnetic field B, and disk will react to this magnetic field because it's made of nickel, so it's ferromagnetic, and it will be turned by some angle theta, that is the angle between the surface normal and the director, we'll see the disturbance around the disk that appears in the liquid crystal. And if the theta is less than pi over 2, nothing actually special happening. We just see that, okay, our liquid crystal torque is equilibrated with the magnetic torque, everything is fine, okay, carry on. If we manage to turn our disk by theta more than pi over 2, we can see that there is a huge distortion around the disk. And this is very energy costly. So the disk said, okay, I want to flip. And during the flip, this A goes out from the plane of the screen and starts to tilt in the plane perpendicular to the screen and end up at this position. And we can see that around the disk, the director field is much less distorted. So this is much more energy preferable configuration. To study this interesting behavior, we made our simulations, and there is an experiment. I will talk about it a little bit later. The parameters of the experiment are here, and these are our parameters. We used one elastic constant approximation. It's a common thing to do for the liquid crystals. We also took smaller disks with a proportionally smaller magnetic moment, and these disks require smaller magnetic field to rotate them. Okay, finally, nice pictures. So we did two types of representation of the disk. In the first one, we just took two planes with the particles that will represent the disk. And this is the part of our simulational domain, and we're looking at the middle of it with a disk inside it with one quarter of the domain cut it out to be able to see what's going on with the disk. In the initial position, no distortion. The disk is turned by theta less than pi over 2, no distortion again almost. But when the disk is turned by theta more than pi over 2, we can see the distortion cloud around the disk. And this distortion cloud based on the largest eigenvalue of the tensor order parameter I talked before. So it starts to flip inside this distortion cloud. And during the flip, we can see how this cloud starts to collapse back to the surface of the disk. And then at the very end, we can see no distortion. So this is our disk, it's turning, and now it's flipping, and there is no distortion. Then we looked at the different type of representation where we added these particles on the cylindrical surface here to make our surface conditions more detailed. And what we get is that from the very beginning, we have a defect here around the edge of the disk due to the conflict on the conditions at this point. But in all other ways, the motion is similar to one that we looked just before. Okay, it's turning. You can see the cloud. It's flipping inside this cloud. Yeah, it's done, and we still just have the defect on the edges. So that's what we expected. It was very nice to have an experiment to compare our results with, and we were lucky. We have such an experiment performed by Robert Tahini's research group from the Johns Hopkins University. And these are the pictures that they got in the experiment. Here they are looking down from the below at the sample with their liquid crystal and disk in it. And the light source is just below sample. So that's why we see this dark black spot instead of the disk, because no light getting through it. And we again can see this disturbance cloud around the disk. Okay, let's see the movie. Okay, this is real experimental data. So disk will turn and then very fast flip, okay? And this is how it's flipping inside this disturbance thing. And it's again collapsing back to the surface of the disk. To receive a similar pictures with the outgoing intensity of light in our simulation, we treat each liquid crystal layer in the simulation as a polarizer, and this is what we get from our simulation. So again, dark spot is a disk, and we can see the similar circles of disturbance of different level in our simulation. We also compared how fast a disk flips for different magnitudes of the magnetic field. For this purpose, we looked at the projection of the surface normal to the plane perpendicular to the far field director N, and measured how the angle between this projection and the x-axis changes with time. So these are our results. This is the strongest magnetic field, weaker the weakest, and we see that the strongest magnetic field, the faster the disk flips. And the similar results were received in the experiment in this picture. So we can say probably that, okay, our simulation provides necessary results and it can be used for further details. Okay, what we're looking at right now is two disks. We don't have any experiments, as soon as I know, to these things. And when we're looking at two disks, it's mainly the same idea. Okay, these two disks, they're just sharing this area of distortion here, but in all other senses, they are just the same. So they're just flipping together, they're about to flip, in this cloud of distortion, and then they end up with almost no distortion around them. Okay. But what we also observed in our simulation is when we're looking at two disks of different type of representation with additional points, at some moment of time, the defects can be observed in the liquid crystal when they're turning fast enough. This means that after this, we can see how these defects makes this particle in this shell to change their orientation instead of making the disk flips. So let's see this. Okay, this is our two disks. You can see the defect on the edges as usually. Okay, defect here. And you see no distortion as it didn't flip. And this can be very interesting in the sense that we can control their defects in the liquid crystal through their magnetic field and the position of the disks. Okay, that's all by now. Thank you very much.
I missed. So you have two sets of simulations. One in which there's no dissipation loop, and one in which there is.
Yeah.
How is it possible to have no dissipation loop?
Okay, it's possible because of how we represent the disk. So here we're saying, okay, all particles on this surface should be perpendicular. But here we also want the particles here to be perpendicular, and they have a conflict here.
So in the left simulation, there's no anchoring.
Yeah,
around.
Yeah. There is no particles. Yeah. So we actually were limited in the thickness of the disk in this case to be represented in right way. So it's like you're taking a very, very thin disk when you don't actually. So the conditions is so small on these edges that you can just neglect them. And for the second type, yeah, you can see that pretty thin disk. So that's the main difference.
Any more questions?
Yeah, sure.
So you have the fluid, you have multiple.
Yeah.
And it looks like your disk is made of particles. So do those follow MD then?
No, it's a different thing. It's a different algorithm. It's actually requires too much details to explain just right now. But if you want, we can discuss this a little bit later.
Okay, cool. And that's coupled to the lattice.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. By now they allow to like get into each other, but we don't. We know that they shouldn't do this right now, so
right.
We're taking this away.
Surfaces.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's thank the speaker again.